Okay, welcome back to another session of the Friday evening, Thursday evening Musa Shir. It's been a long time, I guess. And we're on Daf Lamed Ches, and this is Shir number 2 for Shahar Busha, the trait of Busha of shame or embarrassment. Last that we learned, and it had been a few weeks ago, that a person, of course, should be ashamed to sin before Hashem, as opposed to shame, having a feeling of shame before human beings. This next paragraph is going to be somewhat of a proof to that concept. On the last paragraph of the page, Lamed Ches, Echad min ha-chachamim Omar, one of the chachamim has known to be said, to have said, Im nisharta kol yamecha shelo chatasa. If you're the kind of person who has been careful not to sin all of your days, al tachzik tova le'asmecha. We shouldn't ascribe too much credit to ourselves if we are that kind of person. Why? Because no big deal. Ki tichilas azivas averos machma shemizbayish mibnei adam. The reason we hold ourselves back from sinning is we simply because we're ashamed of others. Others will see us. Others will find out about it. Lachin, therefore, what's the big deal? You know, in other words, if nobody was watching, if I knew nobody would ever find out, I'd have no problem sinning. So I can't pat myself on the back too hard if I don't sin, because the reason I didn't sin was for the wrong reason. Lachain, therefore, tzarach adam liyizor ma'od bazeh. A person has to be exceedingly careful with this. Ulahalos alibo be'eis ozvo averos, and to take to heart when he is in the process of forsaking sin, of leaving sin, shlo yazve machmas aboshev bnei adam, not to do what he is doing or hold himself back from doing what he's doing because of people who are watching. Ki ayetze mamshich es libo linyan hazeh, because the Eitzahara sees this, the Eitzahara, of course, will take note of our actions and our thought process, and he will present the following argument. The Eitzahara will present the following argument to us. What will he say? Im tasekach, if you do such and such, in other words, if you commit a certain sin, yach limucha b'nei adam, people will shame you for it. And that is not the reason we want to do or not do what we're not doing, because people will shame us. Lachain, therefore, tzarech adam lasas rishon l'chol rishonim. Number one, a person has to take a hold of himself, sheyeda es yotzro, to know his creator, Hashem, of course, v'yakir kocho, and to recognize his greatness, his strength. V'yiten elibo, and take to heart, l'mi yavod, who is he serving? Umimihu yore, and who does he fear? Umitzvas mi yase, and whose mitzvah is he fulfilling? Umi is hero, and who instructed him, who warned him to act in this fashion, in this manner? And that is, of course, Hashem. Kamo shama David l'shlomo beno, as David HaMelech instructed his very own son Shlomo. And this, by the way, is right before David was going to leave this world at the age of 70. And finally, he was going to appoint his son Shlomo, who, as we know from listening to Rabbi Lehrfeld's rushes, that he was at the ripe old age of 12, Shlomo at that time. And he says to Shlomo, Da, the next side of the page, Da es al kei avicha, know Hashem your father, v'ovdehu, and serve him. In other words, you see that David is saying to Shlomo, whatever you're going to do, or whatever you're not going to do, please do it for the sake of Hashem. Da et zelokei avicha, know who Hashem is, the Father, God of your father, meaning Hashem, v'yavdeo, and serve Him. Now, it's interesting, number one, it's interesting that here we have a person, Shlomo, who is great enough, even though he's only 12 years old, but he is great enough to become the king. And David knows how great he is, and still, you would imagine if a person is undertaking such an incredible responsibility of leading the Jewish people, that this would be simple information for him. And still, David feels it necessary to tell him, wait a second, Do what you're going to do for the sake of Hashem. In other words, it's not so simple, certainly for the average person, you know, trying to compare ourselves, whatever age we are, to what Shlomo HaMelech was at age 12. He is light years away from us. And still, you know, we sometimes, you know, get perhaps made a feeling of insulted, you know, if somebody was to tell us or remind us, or somebody was to read the Sefer and say, well, what are you telling me? You're trying to tell me something, you know, kid stuff here, that I'm serving, I'm doing it for the sake of Hashem. You see that even David is telling this to Shlomo, who is about to become the king. So that's number one. Number two, you know, there's an interesting radak on this pasuk. Now when David said this to Shlomo, his son, know God and serve Him, he understood that it is possible, even as great as you are, Shlomo, you're still only 12 years old, and you may not understand and appreciate everything that I'm telling you to do now. And you may fall short of some of the insights of what the right thing, or the reasons for the right things to do that I'm expecting you to do. So David, according to the Radak, David is saying to Shlomo, accept what I say and rely on me, David, on that what I'm telling you is the correct thing until you're old enough to be able to be mature enough to appreciate on your own that what I'm telling you is correct. And now, in other words, again, you see, he's so great, he's going to become the king even though he's 12. On the other hand, David recognizes that he may lack a certain degree of maturity, and that's why, according to the Radak, he's saying, do it anyway, my son. You know, trust me on this one, so to speak, that I know what I'm talking about, and you will see, in time, you will mature, and you'll look back and you'll say, ah, now I understood what my father meant. You know, there's if you'll allow me to quote Mark Twain, who was known, you don't mind if I quote him, is that okay? Mordecai Twain, yeah. So Mark Twain is known to have said about himself that he says, when I was 18, I thought my parents didn't know what they were talking about. By the time I turned 21, I was amazed how much they learned in 3 years. You know, so you know that's almost lahavdil, almost what David HaMelech is saying to Shlomo. You know, trust me. It's you know what I'm telling you to do is the right thing. You will see. In time. Ubazeh, let's finish the paragraph. Ubazeh inyan yagia sheyiz bayesh lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu bilvad. And in this manner, once a person sort of like is willing to accept that he should act in a certain way because our predecessors have told us, that will bring us to a point where we will serve Hashem and not commit sins simply for the sake of Hashem and not for any exterior, extraneous, you know, reasons of embarrassment or feeling shame for others. Yes. Next paragraph begins, W.A.D.U.O. Barur. He said, now, gentlemen, this may be a little bit insulting to us, but we'll take it. We'll take it. W.A.D.U.O. Barur. He says, it's very obvious. It's clear. That many people perform or do things behind closed doors and secret and privacy, and speak things that we think others don't hear, you know, secretly. And certainly we have thoughts in our minds, many thoughts. And it doesn't bother us. We think what we want, we say what we want, do what we want, so long as it's behind closed doors. And the only thing that concerns us is nobody should, you know, should know about it. You look around, see if there are any cameras first, so to speak. If things that we said and thought and did were revealed and became known to the masses, we'd be terribly ashamed of it. So all the more so, we have to be ashamed before our Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Himself, Hamashkif ala levavos, who pierces into our hearts, veroes kol machshavos, and he sees all of our thoughts, veyodeh kol hamasim, and he knows our actions, vadvorim, and our words, vamachshavos, sha'asa adam kol yamav, and everything that is going in our minds all of our days, ve'in lefan of shikha, he doesn't forget anything, it's not like it passes by his mind. So certainly, shetzorach lehisvayesh lefan avali kolim, Certainly we have to have that feeling of shame and embarrassment before Hashem. In other words, human beings, even if somebody may not see it, and if they do see it, they'll forget it perhaps. But you know, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing. And if we're true, only one we're fooling is perhaps ourselves. We're certainly not fooling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth of the matter is, you know, let's go back a few hundred years, and then we'll bring it up to date. And I don't know if we mentioned this this year yet. You know, there was a famous incident with the Kotzke Rebbe. I think we've mentioned it around this table a few times. But it's a good refresher. The Kotzke Rebbe, now please, gentlemen, don't try this at home. You had to be the Kotzke Rebbe, and you had to know, you know, who you're dealing with. He was walking on the marketplace one day, and he saw one of his chassidim, one of his talmidim, walking ahead of him, and coming towards his talmid, his student, was a woman who was not dressed modestly. And he sees, as he's watching, he sees his student walk over to the wall and face the wall, so to speak, not to see the woman coming by, so he faced the wall. And the Kotzke Rebbe saw this, and he walked over, and he whispered into his ear. And he said, Hezich Mitzi, listen here, my student, I'd rather you look at the woman and think of the wall than look at the wall and think of the woman. You know, so, in other words, who are you trying to fool? Now, obviously, talking about the Kotzke Rebbe, he was a great person, and he knew who he was dealing with. But his point was, obviously, he was not promoting looking at women, of course. But his point to his student was, who are you trying to fool? I know what you're looking at the wall, you're facing the wall, but you're thinking of the woman. That doesn't accomplish anything. So, number one, going back a few hundred years, or even more recent times, you know, we're concerned with other people looking at us and whatever we can do to hide the fact. But now, especially, gentlemen, Hashem is serving it to us on a silver platter. When you have cameras all over the place, they're installing them in every shopping center and parking lots, and even when you stop for a red light and certain busy look at this, smile, gentlemen, we're on candid camera right here. You see that? Now, and then of course you have Google Earth. Now, Google Earth, in my opinion, is the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bestow upon us, because you can't hide anymore. They have you. You know, certainly if you pay the right price, and the Army and the FBI, whoever it is that have the most advanced Google Earth system, that they can bend the cameras, ad kedei kach, I read an article that they can pierce it, they can shine it, or, you know, point it through your window of your house, and they can read the titles of the books that you have on your shelf, on your bookcase. That's how advanced it is. And they're working on systems that the Army already has, that infrared, that you can actually x-ray vision, they can go through your walls. And now, and of course, I'm sure you've heard the reports that they're using it in airports for security. You know, so the system is in place. Now, we always go back to the Chofetz Chaim, who said that all advancement in technology is for us to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Panasonic can do it, and Sony can do it, and Bill Gates can do it, so obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it. And the system that he has up there is much more advanced than a human being can ever create. So the one thing they don't have yet, which I'm sure they're working on, is filming our thoughts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically, what we're just told here by the Chovos Avos is, how can we not have a feeling of shame? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only seeing our actions, but he's reading our mind. He's seeing our thoughts. So, and I think we once brought in, I don't remember if we ever do, one of the Mefarshim, it's a Rashi, I don't recall right now where it is, a Rashi in Tanakh, that says that at the end of days, that we will, Hashem will open up the book and ask us to read what we ourselves wrote every night in the book with our own penmanship, with our own, you know, pen that we cannot deny because you know, it's our, you know, signature. All the events and all the thoughts that we had during that day. So there's no, and I guess that the technology is allowing us to be able to zoom into this thought on a higher level, on a deeper level, that there's no hiding anymore. Besides the fact, there's a medrash, and I believe it's in a Koheles, a medrash of Koheles that says, you know, if you've heard the phrase, the walls have ears, that is not an English phrase. That is a medrash in Koheles. Oznayim lakosel. The walls, there are ears to the wall. That means as a person speaks, the walls The walls are absorbing the conversations. So everything is really, is really recorded. And, suffice it to say that nobody can get away with anything. Now, again, that is not the ultimate reason to serve Hashem. The reason to serve Hashem is to serve Hashem, to do what is right, because it's the right thing to do. But there is a concept of mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, that we need a little prodding sometimes. Human nature is that we don't perform properly on our own sometimes. So if we know that there's a concept of Google Earth or recordings being made, so maybe that could help us elevate ourselves to the next level. Now, gentlemen, listen to this next paragraph here. He is going to describe four kinds of people. He says, Arba Madregas Yes Babusha. There are four different steps, Madregas levels in Busha. But really, it could be a description of four different people. And as we learn Musar, of course, it's always important to try to picture ourselves, try to focus on ourselves. Which one am I? In other words, as I see this next paragraph and it describes the four different people, which one is me that he's speaking about at this level? There are four different levels in shame. Ha'achas, number one. Ha'mizbayesh lasos aver bagolui. Here's a person who is ashamed to commit a sin in public. Ha'aver b'seiser. But behind closed doors, he will commit the sin. Ha'rei zeh k'gonev das ho'elyon. This is a person, gonev das elyon, who is trying to fool God, so to speak. Shem is bayish lifnei olam, that he's ashamed in front of the masses, in front of people. V'lo lifnei Hashem baruch hu, and he's not ashamed before God. V'ra'aso rabamot, and his evil is exceedingly great. Now, why this can be compared, by the way, to the halacha in the Gemara? The Gemara discusses halacha, which really is in Parshas Mishpatim. The origin is in Parshas Mishpatim, where you have the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. You know, if a person steals in broad daylight, he has a certain payment, but if he steals at nighttime, he has a different payment. The person who steals at nighttime is referred to as the ganav. Daytime is the gazlan. And I don't know, in English, a thief and is there a difference in what you refer to, a burglar? Burglar perhaps is at night, and a thief is during the day. So the burglar is the ganav. The burglar, when he is caught and he robbed $100, he has to pay $200. Why do you mean $200? The low fare is, I stole $100, take $100. There are different reasons for it. Another reason is because crime does not pay. If you only charge the person $100, then hey, it pays, because worst comes to worst, they'll catch me, I'll pay back the $100, big deal. If they don't, I get away with it. So you pay $200, but the main reason why a ganav is because here is a person who stoops so low, who thinks that he's getting away with it because he's robbing at night. He's burglarizing someone's house during the night and nobody can see him. What do you mean nobody can see you? You don't think God can see you during the nighttime because the lights are off, so Hashem can't see you. So we tag on an extra $100 because you were trying to get away with with the information from Hashem, which is not. So he says that is the first madrega, a person who commits the sin during the day, in public, not in privacy, but not in public. So he's sort of trying, he thinks he's beating the system. He thinks Hashem cannot see him. That's terrible. Here's the second kind of person, Hashniya. Number two person, Hamizbayesh Lefnei Olam. He is ashamed to commit a sin before people. Even behind closed doors and privacy, he also holds himself, controls himself. Why? Because maybe, even though I'm doing it under the guise of darkness, behind closed doors, maybe somebody will find out about it. V'gam, he says, v'yisbayesh lifneihem, and I'm going to be ashamed. Oy gevalt, if I get caught. In other words, if you can guarantee me I won't get caught, then I'll commit the sin at night. Right? Not during the day, because then I know for sure I'm going to get caught. But at night, if you can guarantee me, I'll commit the sin. But here I'm not going to do it even at night, even behind closed doors, because, oi, maybe somebody was watching. Now, what do you say about this kind of person? Remember, he's got an ulterior motive here, obviously. His motive is that somebody may catch me. But, on the other hand, after all said and done, he doesn't commit the sin. So look what the Orech HaTzaddikim says. Al zeh amru, about this kind of person, the Gemara Pesachim says, mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. You know what? Let him live his life this way. Because even though he's doing it for an impure motive, an impure reason, maybe he'll get caught. Fine. At least right now he is not sinning. And that will take him eventually, hopefully that'll take him to the next level, where he will prevent himself from sinning for the right reason. Mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. Okay, that's number two. Here's a third kind of person. Remember, we're examining ourselves now. Im tachshov, number three. Im tachshov, when a person thinks to himself, oy, eich ese baseis haro hazos, how in the world can I do this behind closed doors? Ashe es bayesh lifnei ha'eved yosim lifnei ha'adon. I am more ashamed before servants more than the master. In other words, I'm ashamed in front of people and not in front of Hashem. The egnov das hoelyon. Do I think I'm trying to fool God? And because of this, he holds himself back from committing the sin. So this Orech HaTzaddikim says, Mala tova hizos. This is a very high, that's a very nice level. Why is it? Because at least Hashem, in his eyes, is not on a lower level than a human being. Because he's saying to himself, how could I do such a thing? That I'm going to put a human being on a higher level than God? That I'm going to sin in front of God and not sin in front of a human being? I can't do that. I can't. So at least, you see, he is holding by a certain madrega, he's putting Hashem at least on the same level as a human being. Here's number four. Or this, towards the end of the paragraph. Im yisbayesh ha'odom ba'golo yubaseisha lefnei Hashem baruch hu bilvad. He is ashamed in front of, whether privately or publicly, and the reason he is ashamed to commit the sin is simply because of Hashem alone. K'mo sh'odom yisbayesh lefnei chaveiro, k'achu yisbayesh lefnei Hashem. Just like the average person is ashamed to do certain things before their friends, this person is ashamed to do it before Hashem. Ein l'mala mizos. There is no higher level than this. This is the ultimate level that a person says to himself, it doesn't make a difference. People are watching, people are not watching. I know Hashem is always watching me. I know Hashem asked me to do this or not to do this. And that's the reason I'm acting in the following manner. It has nothing to do with human beings. Just like I would be ashamed to walk into, you know, to chveis, to do something improper, to act something, to do something not nice in front of a human being, I'd be ashamed to do it. That's exactly the way I am in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No? What is the question? The question is being asked. It's really a question you're asking. You know, when a person contemplates or thinks about doing something he shouldn't be doing, you know, is that good or bad? Yeah. Is that within our control? When a thought enters my mind, you know, one of the high school boys asked me a few weeks ago, actually, in the preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and talking about trying to act properly. So one of the young men asked me, what am I supposed to do if a thought, an improper thought, enters my mind? They just entered my mind. I wasn't looking for trouble, but you know, you get thoughts in your mind. So, it's even more than that. First of all, we have to be careful not to act upon the thought. But the second step before that perhaps is, you know, the human brain, the human mind is always working. I mean, even when we're asleep, it's working. But certainly when we're awake, the mind is always working. Something is going to enter our mind. The question is, if something improper enters my mind, I have to immediately replace it with something kosher. That's what I'm supposed to do. You're right, it's not your fault. But if you don't replace it very quickly, that thought is going to stay there, and you're going to be harboring that thought for a minute, 2 minutes, before you know it, for an hour. And then the chances of acting upon it are worse. So maybe it was beyond your control for that to enter your mind, but replace it immediately. Start thinking about a chesed, visiting someone in a hospital. Yeah, start thinking about, it's not an easy thing. That's an easy thing. Of course it's very tough. Ah, this is practice. But we'll take it one step further. A person who saturates himself with kosher things, guess what? His mind is going to be filled with kosher things. The mind, of course, like we said before, things always enter, thoughts always enter our mind. But what kind of thoughts are going to enter your mind? If a person looks where he shouldn't, or generally thinks about what he shouldn't, or eats what he should, whatever the case may be, then that's going to be, you know, what do they say in Yiddish? In Yiddish, they say, "Was is often sung is was is often lung is often sung." What is on your lung is on your tongue, so to speak. What's in your mind is going to be, you know. So, if we surround ourselves with the chveis, the media, and the things that we know are you know immoral or improper, then guess what's going to enter our minds? You know, that's what's going to enter our mind. If the person takes the initiative to preempt it, you know, we think, I'm not in control, what enters my mind? The truth of the matter is, we are in control to a large extent. Because what's going to enter our mind is the things that we generally think about. So if a person views himself as a servant of God and tries to serve Hashem to the best of his ability as often as he can, his waking hours at least, and guess what's going to enter his mind? These kinds of thoughts are going to enter his mind. So, you know, you have a person like Reshua Lev Diskin, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim in the early 1900s, who walked around whispering to himself the word, Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I consider Hashem before me always. No, that kind of person is not going to, first of all, he's certainly not going to have improper actions, but he's not going to have improper thoughts, because if you view Hashem before you all the time, you know, it's not an easy thing. Yeah. We've mentioned here a few times, even coming to shul and davening, on top of the Aron Kodesh and many shuls, what does it say? Da lifnei mi atomei. Know before who you are standing. What do you mean? As if I don't know anything I came to shul for. I came to shul to stand to daven. Who am I going to daven before your Uncle Beryl? I'm davening before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet, obviously, the minig Yisrael, I don't know if it's a chazal, where this began, this custom of having that, you know, implanted, imprinted there on top of the Aron Kodesh, you know, in wood and gold and brass, whatever it is. Know before whom you are standing. Here are people who have the commitment to come to shul to daven. They obviously know they're davening to Hashem. Yet it seems the Chazal understood that, you know, human nature is that our mind wanders, and I can be in the mechaveis in the middle of Ashrei, and I'll be starting to think about the World Series. In the middle of Shmon Esrei, and I'll be thinking, who knows where my next vacation is going to be. So they have to have a reminder, a constant reminder. I wonder sometimes if they can make a little change. I'll speak for myself, because I know, I, Eschatoya Nimaski Ayom, I've been to some pretty luxurious places during Shmon Esrei sometimes, you know. My mind wanders. I'm going to make a suggestion that perhaps we should consider making it a neon light that flashes, you know, so like, you know, and maybe it's attached to our seats with an electrical,
radio,
like, yeah, like,
on the
beep,
air,
beep, beep,
on
you know,
the air.
You're turning off, come back, you know, come back, rejoin us, you know. We told a miser here once with a Rav, again, don't try this at home, you have to, I don't know if it ever really happened, but it's a miser that gets the point across, where there was a businessman in town who went on a business trip on Monday morning, and he said goodbye to his Rav, I'll be back Thursday. He comes back Thursday, the Rav says to him, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back, how was the trip? Successful? Yeah, it was, thank you very much. Friday, he comes to shul, Friday night he comes to shul again. They're down the mincha, Kabbalah, Shabbos, Marav. You know, the minig is everybody walks by the rabbi to say good Shabbos to the rabbi, you have to daven. So the rabbi sees this man and he says, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. He says, Rabbi, I came back yesterday. You already welcomed me back yesterday, Thursday. What do you say? Welcome back now? He says, I was watching you during davening. You definitely were somewhere else. So I'm welcoming you back. You know, again, you know. You know, where do we go during our davening? You know, a lot of mileage. You know, we have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a cheshbon on the roaming charges. Yeah, we're familiar with that term, roaming charges. You know, where's our mind roaming or wandering? Okay, so again, we'll look back at this paragraph. We have to think to ourselves, which one am I? Which one are we in this paragraph? How do we, what is our thought process when we consider doing something we shouldn't? And of course, although it's a very difficult madrega, but that's something we try to aspire to, that the reason why we do what we do, or we don't do what we don't do, is because, simply because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He alone. One more paragraph, gentlemen, let's go for it. what we gain. This paragraph is going to show us what we can gain from the midah, from this trait of busha. Amr Chachamim, the Chachamim have said, Kala osa dvar averim es bayesh bo. Listen to this amazing chazal. Anybody who commits a sin and is ashamed of the sin that he committed, mochalin lo al kol avonosa. All of his sins are forgiven. All. Kol avonosa. Now, I must clarify here. I have to qualify it. And that is that I looked up this Gemara. You see, it's a Gemara in Brachas. I looked up the Gemara in Brachas in the Ein Yaakov, and the commentary in the Pirush Iyun Yaakov, he says, means Ba'olam Haba. Our sins are forgiven in the world to come. In other words, when we reach the world to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks back and he says, ah, you sinned, but you were ashamed that you sinned? Guess what? Clean slate. That's an Olam Haba. In Olam Hazeh, you do suffer the consequence, even though, yeah, you're ashamed of it. You committed a sin, you get a consequence, even though you're ashamed for it. It's just that you have a clean slate in the world. By the way, the proof, Ian Yaakov says the proof is the Maisa that happened with Shaul. Remember, Shaul wiped out the entire city of Nov Ir HaKohanim. And when he recollected what he did, he felt terribly embarrassed about it. And Shmuel Hanavi said to him that you and your children will be with me in Olam Haba. From there, the Chazal learned out that in his Olam Haba was not affected whatsoever, clean slate. He will be with Shmuel Hanavi in Olam Haba because he had busha. He felt a sense of shame for doing what he did. But, so we know he lost his life in this world. You get a consequence for it. Okay, so the truth be told, when we say, when a person sins and he feels ashamed, what does it mean to feel ashamed? There's different levels of shame. No, you feel embarrassed. How embarrassed do we feel about? Do we feel so embarrassed that we wouldn't consider doing it again? Remember, the busha here has to be before God. That I'm ashamed before Hashem, like we said in the previous paragraph. If I'm ashamed before Hashem so much so, I wouldn't do it again. That kind of remorse, that kind of busha, that kind of shame erases our slate, so it cleans the slate for the world to come. You know, just saying, well, you know, I feel bad about it. You know, please be welcome. Yeah, I know what's wrong. I feel bad about it. You know, lip service kind of thing. That obviously is not going to work. V'yod Amru, on top of the page, V'yod Amru, and furthermore, the Chachamim said, Boshes Panim Ligan Eden. A person who is shamed faced, that means feels the feeling of shame, he goes directly to Gan Eden. Simply, by the way, if you look at the Tiferes Yisrael, he says, the reason is because a person who is ashamed to sin will prevent him from sinning habitually. And if you don't sin, then obviously you're going to end up with more Gan Eden. Because the thing that deprives us of Gan Eden is sinning. So if you're ashamed of sinning, so you won't sin. So the result will be, you get more Gan Eden. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to quote a Rambam for you. I don't have the Maror Mokom, in other words, I didn't write down the exact spot in the Rambam where it is. Anybody interested, I'll try to find it for you. There's a Rambam that says, listen to this. Feeling a sense of shame when contemplating sin is one of the greatest gifts that Hashem bestowed upon a person. Just thinking of shame. So sometimes, you know, we wonder, why did Hashem have to give me this feeling of shame? I shouldn't be ashamed. It's a gift. And we spoke earlier about the fact that, a few weeks ago we spoke about Adam and Chava before the sin and the way people walk around half-dressed, you know, these days, because they don't have the feeling of shame. They don't have the feeling of shame, so there's no contemplating sin anymore because everything goes. There's no shame anymore. So according to the Rambam, it's one of the greatest gifts. I'm just going to quote one of the other Mefarshim here on Pirkei Avos that says, Pirus called Minchas Shabbos, who says, if you look at the word panim, he says, Boshes panim legan Eden, a person who has shame on his face. So he says that the word panim is also can be read panim. Panim means my inner self. So he says like this, although there are times that a person has to shelve this midah of shame when it comes to asking a question in a shir, when he wants to ask a shayla, sometimes people are ashamed to ask a shayla. You can't be ashamed to ask a shayla. You have a shayla, you have to go over to the Rav and ask a shayla, so you have to shelve that midah of shame. But your inner self, you have shame. You still feel, you don't go over with a sense of gaiva, of haughtiness, I'm going to ask a shayla and I don't care. No. Inside, I feel ashamed. Panim, my inner self still feels a feeling of shame. That's Boshas panim. But outwardly, what could I do? I have to ask the shayla, so I have to shelve this midah. But meanwhile, we see, after all said and done, the Boshas Panim is, the result is Gan Eden. Furthermore, Yomer Chachamim Habusha VeEmuna Mechubara Zu LaZu. He says these two traits, Busha, shame, and Emuna, belief in Hashem, are interconnected. Ki habayshon machzik beEmuna im kol adam. A person who has a sense of shame keeps his faith with other people. Umisheino neman ein lo busha. A person who cannot be trusted, we know that's the kind of person who has no shame. Omar HaChacham finally ends the paragraph by saying, the Chacham says, Kishe'enchom is bayesh. If a person doesn't have the sense of shame, asei kol ritzoncha, you can do whatever you want. In other words, because busha is the greatest deterrent to sin, if a person doesn't have this sense of shame of busha, then he is beyond anything containing him. There's no bounds. He's got a wide open field, so to speak. And it's amazing. We had quoted Rav Gifter a few weeks ago, who said this. We live in a generation where people don't have that sense of shame. That's why there's no shame. That's why people are committing the greatest acts publicly, privately. It doesn't make a difference, because what am I going to be ashamed for? I can do this, I can do that. It doesn't make a difference. So someone will see me, someone will hear about it, put my name in the paper, put my picture in a post office. Who cares? No shame. No shame. Doesn't make a difference anymore. So once a person has no sense of shame, then it's an open field and it's impossible to control from that point. 100%. Okay, gentlemen, and Mitzvah Shem will resume next week, and let's continue from here. Welcome back, everybody. Is there anybody that did not?